And the child is taught to open the heart to the teacher. So if you say God is good, the teacher says no. Mother nature is responsible. That child has a conflict. You have to every day be working hard to correct those things. Why give yourself the work? That's why, listen, you can send your children to boarding house. I don't care. They are your children, not mine. But I think I have a house and there's boarding there. My reason is simple. At that age, no, listen, like I told you earlier, you can't keep the lives of your children, you know, forever, you know, kid under your watch, you know. I believe in freeing children, you know, gradually, but also at the appropriate time, you know. Like, my son goes to school, comes back from school by himself, and I say, the world is dangerous. Better get used to it. You get my point? It's true. Some people say, yeah, go to your church. Go and enter bus. Your mates are at the bus station. Your father has a car, your mother has a car. That is not why your life should spoil. Go to the bus station, my friend. When I was GSS, we used to sneak away from school. I'm not saying you should try it, if I catch you. when you are broke, I was in boarding house. When you are broke, you sneak home, go and look, steal something and eat, come back. And we'll try. This one, me and my friend. Great distances. The angel of God that was watching me, still, they never stopped. And you know, once your children are born, they are located one angel each. Yeah, and those angels watch over them. Sometimes the children see them, they don't know they are angels, but they usually show up at difficult times. Suddenly the child is about to be bullied by some of his mates, and one man just says, what are you people doing? A lot of times those men are angels, they are not human beings. The other people will run away. What you need to do, pray for your children all the time. Always pray for them. But you see, there are statements you make before God, even the angels can't do anything. He tells God, the spiritual climate around this child is not important to me. You made a statement, God has to flow with it. So until it gets to a point where I think it is legitimate under God to let something... No, while it is my duty, I do my duty. When my children are young, I think I'm the best teacher. Their mother is the best teacher. The home climate is the best boarding house. I will board you here for a very long time. Then the time comes, I let you go. I will not let you go before that time comes. Until you're ready to be trained to what they call a man of war. You ain't going anywhere. You're staying with me. No, these are things that, you know, when I announce people, just say, because you have money, go and ask Pastor Paul Adefarasi what happened to him and his brothers because his parents were rich. He tells the stories. His brother, as a teenager, had a flat, 2 cars, and $50,000 per annum pocket allowance in London. The boy went mental. I heard this testimony myself watching it like this. Their mother will serve God forever. You know why? God delivered all those boys for her. My mother, don't use your hand to buy trouble. That's what I'm saying. Know who is pouring information into the hearts and the lives of your children. And as much as it depends on you, control it. You can't throw away your advantage. When the child will be raised to think that, you know, so one day something was good, nothing was good on the road. And then nothing just exploded. Bam! And the big bang. And became everything. And everything just rallied and became the monkey. And then one day the monkey changed his mind and became you. And you now had him. So your children don't understand that you are different from a monkey. My own is that if God gives you the opportunity to not let that happen, why do you want it to happen? That's just what I'm saying. Like I said, it's a digression. Back to my message. What is God looking for from you and me? That's the message for today. I was talking about what? Our thinking process. That, you know, I said that Romans chapter 12 said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said that is the main problem. What's our emphasis for now? We're not out there. We'll get there about preaching the gospel. We'll get there about spending money, giving money to the cause of the gospel. We'll get there, we'll talk about it, about living your life, you know, with purpose and pursuing your purpose, your mission in life. We'll get there. But right now, what we are focusing on is that passive way of advancing the kingdom, which means you must be a true representative of the kingdom you want to advance. And what Satan tries to do is to make you conform. I took a while again to emphasize to Christians that Satan doesn't have the kind of power they think he has. What he tries to do is to make you conform. By that conformity, what he does is to pollute you. Once you are polluted, you are useless. That's why we read from that Revelation chapter 17. We said, those who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and last of all, faithful. Many are called, few are chosen. Those chosen people, that is the issue. Satan guns for them, trying to pollute them. Jesus was called. He was chosen, we know, because this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's when the Lord said, this one I have chosen him. After that, he now went to the wilderness. And Satan now said, what do we do? This guy is too powerful. He's going to ruin everything we have labored for all these years. So what do? We pollute him. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He went after him. Turn your stones to bread. Jesus refused. Bow down and worship me. Jesus refused. Jump down from here and make a name for yourself. The Lord refused. Based upon the word of God. What was he doing? He was maintaining his purity. I said something last time. Let me say it again. If our righteousness is intact, God can do anything he wants to do with our lives. Before I would sit down and be wondering, you know, I don't know how many of you, of course all of us, I'm sure we have done it, you've gone into the jungles in East here. If you are from the North, you won't understand. Or Middle Belt. There's no jungle there. Eastern Nigeria, you know, tropical rainforest. I said, so you mean a white man left England and came here to preach the gospel? Man, those guys are tough. They will arrive, malaria will kill some people. And the next batch will still come. What are they looking for? I look at a man like Abraham. You did not have any son. You had him when you were 100 years old. 15, 17 years later, this God that gave you the child said, of all the things he wanted on this earth, is you to kill that child. And this Abraham took... Some of us can't kill our certificate. Do you know that? Said, do you know how long my father has been waiting for this thing? Yeah, this man was willing to sacrifice his only son, that his promised child, Isaac. Then you look at it and say, how did a man accept to do that? They said, Daniel, don't pray. I mean, what is the big deal? How many of you even pray here regularly? And I just told the man, don't just pray for us. It's not 30 days. And you know the funny thing? You could pray in your heart, too. Daniel could just lie down in his bed. In fact, you can even whisper... Put your pillow over your head. Would anybody know? Put pillow over your head and say, Father, they say we shouldn't pray. Don't mind this. I hope you can hear me through this cover. You know, Daniel was kind of, you must understand, if you see a lot of Islam these days, it's very similar to Judaism. So it's like telling a Muslim, don't pray. You know, a Muslim can't pray in his heart. You get what I'm saying? He has to kneel down and bow his head towards the east. And that's what Daniel used to do. He used to open the door towards Jerusalem. That's how he knew to pray. And he knew they were going to throw him the lion's den. And what did he do? He still prayed. And they caught him. And they threw him into the lion's den. My question is, when I watch all of these things, I used to think, then what made these men do these things? Then finally, after many years of contemplating, the Lord gave me an answer, which was what I wrote in the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That book was not written on how to get money. It was not written so that you know how to download any blessing from heaven. No, it was a faith to obey God that was explaining. Now, how did these people do it? I found out that it was not them. It was the Spirit that entered into them and set them on their feet. What am I trying to emphasize? God is at work in you, both to will and to do. I realized that if your heart is right, and you are in that same situation, the same Spirit that made Abraham get up to go and sacrifice Isaac will also come into you, and you also get up and sacrifice your own Isaac. If your heart is right, if righteousness is your portion, that's what I said last time, when God was coming to walk and raise his army on the earth, he didn't start by teaching them military methods, how to walk. He started by making them righteous. Everybody he calls into his army, he calls from the point of righteousness. He said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. You cannot become a believer except you believe. And based on that faith, you are made righteous. What was God saying? Once I get that one right, then every other thing is doable. It's like I have the password to their computer. I can program anything. So Satan said, what do? I corrupt it. It's to prevent the Spirit of God from flowing. You know, all these self-help books we read in this life, I realize that most of them, boom, nonsense. Most of them causing confusion. They want you to use your own energy to do what God will have done inside you by himself. God said, that's how you help yourself. No, I said, labor to enter into my rest. That's how you should do my thing. He said, no. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will work my things in your life. You see all this who you see, maybe Mark Zuckerberg, I hear you telling me, he's a billionaire. There's no wisdom to becoming billionaire at 20. Time and chance happens to everybody. Time and chance. 99% of those that labor like Mark Zuckerberg are poor. I hope you know that. 99% at least. I read a quote from the mouth of Harrison Ford many years ago. He said, no one can truly take credit for anything. He said, there's luck, there's chance, and there's grace. The man understood. This was a man who made it in the movie industry. But he too, he had failed. He was 40-something when he gave up on acting. He became a carpenter so as to be able to keep body and soul together. Well, while he was doing his carpentry, making sets for them in the movie industry, somebody come and do this Indiana Jones thing. I think you can do it. And the thing made it. He now became the Harrison Ford that people know. If Julia Roberts, I don't know about now, as a few years ago, when she signs to do a movie, just come to an agreement. We are doing this movie. Yes, you are the star actress in there. As soon as she signs, they give her a check for $20 million. Sign-up fee, $20 million U.S. dollars. So many young girls want to become actors. What they don't know is that the average salary, according to George Clooney, who was the chairman of the Guild of Actors in America at that time when I read it, George Clooney said the average salary for the actors in America was $10,000 a year. When they say average, it means they have added $20 million of Julia Roberts to it and found the average. And it came to $10,000 a head. What does that tell you? Most actors and actresses in America are very poor. They live below the minimum wage. What am I trying to say? Don't let these self-help books deceive you. 99% of those who use those principles fail. When you're a believer, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. Then God can now pour his spirit inside you and do anything through you. That's what I'm talking about. Not a big example, but an important one. The year I came to Enugu was the first time in my life I thought of coming to Enugu. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, by the time I was married my wife, we didn't agree that one day we'll go to Enugu and go and start a ministry. Nothing. We married in 99, December. The thought of going to Enugu had not come to our minds. It was sometime in the year 2000. Oh, let's make a long story short. By September that year, I was in Enugu. Where I will be next year, I don't need to think about it. One day I will find out that I have reached there. I don't know whether you have heard what I'm saying. Where you will be, if you walk with God, that's how I'm talking about God raising his army. He's not raising smart people. He's not raising those who know how to plan. Most people that know how to plan themselves out of the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's not. He's raising those who are pure in heart. Once he has done that, he can pour anything into them. You see a quiet man, quiet woman today. You see him or her next year. You say, I'm an apostle to Islamic countries. He said, they will kill you. He said, let them confess. He'll be doing open air crusades in Islamic countries. You know, you will be afraid for him. He said, I know this guy. He used to be very quiet those days. When did he become a troublemaker like this? He's not him. A spirit has entered into him. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. So Satan knows this thing. Even if he didn't know it before, he came to listen. But don't worry, he knows. So that's why his strategy is different. He's only, let me block the flow. Let me block the flow. Let me cut it. That's his strategy. And how does he do it? He brings forth the opportunities to conform. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, our energy must be spent on, I will not conform. And I said the message for today, you know, I think many people needed to follow my train of thoughts. That's why I had to go over that. And the message for today is that the first place where the conforming thing starts from is in the mind. That's why I gave the quotation that if you cannot see anything wrong with what God calls sin, then you are blind. What do I mean? Your thinking process. Paul said, we cast down imagination, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I was giving an example. You know, that's why I digress into talking about your children and all of that. You know this homosexual agenda. If you notice, I hardly use the word gay. I don't know whether you notice it. Watch it carefully. I hardly do. It's deliberate. I hardly use the word gay. It's deliberate. In fact, just by the way, the first pope to use the word gay is the current pope. All the other popes refused to use the word gay. This is why I'm talking about it. You know why? It was a deliberate ploy on the side of those guys to make it look normal. You grew up homosexuality, you were told was bad. The whole nation understood, the whole world got that point. So they said the first thing we do is to change the minds of people. So they changed the word gay. It's a nice word. The word gay just means you are happy, you are light, you know, you are happy, you know, you are bright. Things are okay. You know, a party can be gay, that everybody was happy, you know. No, now it's a gay party. Eh? You went to a gay party. But those days, if you went to a gay party, it just means that, you know, the musician played well, the food was good, the drink was good, we danced very well. But now it's a gay party, say, oh, more. These guys deliberately, they just brought out the words, swapped the words. So they are no longer homosexuals, they are gay. What are they trying to do? Trying to teach the young people that there's nothing wrong with it. That homosexuals are just a uniquely happy group of people. They are not sick. When I was a medical student, it was a disorder of object. And they pulled it out and said, no, it's another choice. What am I explaining? They were working on the minds of people. Look, it's those who don't understand spiritual dynamics. They'll just be following for many things. They work on the minds of people. And that's what I'm talking about. Therefore, you must guard your mind. Guard your heart with all diligence. The mind is the door to the heart, if you understand those two words. The mind is how you decode things, how things make sense to you. Do you get my point? For example, if you see a man, let us assume now he's coming. Okay, yeah, this is it. You see a guy drive up wearing very nice clothes, comes out in an S500, Mercedes-Benz. Your mind instantly thinks he's a multimillionaire. Now, that's what they call mind. Mind is how you decode. I mean, that's a child doesn't think it's real. A child doesn't think he has a car and it's shiny. That's all. But an adult's mind is trained to join it together and say, the car is expensive to maintain. He's wearing very nice clothes. He must be earning a lot of money. That's what they call mind. So how do you decode things? So those guys, what they did to give you a word gay, to make your mind decode it not as perversion, but as a happy man. What am I saying? One area where you must never, listen, as a child of God, please, that's what I'm explaining. You must, first of all, ensure that your mind is guarded, is protected, so that you don't think like the world thinks. Listen, I said something to you before, that you know Eve could not disobey God until Satan made her mind change. Open to the book of Genesis. Let me just show you something. I want you to see with your own eyes, you will get my point. Like I said, my message today is your thinking, the way you reason. I was making a statement earlier, I didn't finish making it because I interrupted myself trying to explain something. That many times people are fighting, they are fighting the outward behavior because of what they have been taught. And they find it very hard to succeed. And the reason is because their minds have not been changed. They are trying to change their behavior when their mind is somewhere else. For example, until as a child of God, you realize that I don't have plenty of money is not a sign of failure. The temptation to steal will always be high in your heart. It is not about, I will not steal. In Jesus' name, I'm a child of God. No. The first thing is, you must be like Paul. I must learn how to abound and how to abase. It's not stealing that's the issue. Are you getting my point? Covetousness is what leads to stealing. And covetousness is a way you perceive the environment around you. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Do you gravitate, for example, towards people that look to you successful? You smile. Look, like, listen. I will still read this. One of the things I have learned in life is the premise upon which you respect people. One I don't ever use, God has helped me with it, is I never, ever, thank you, Lord, for it, respect you because you are rich. I respect your age. I respect what you represent in the society. For example, if you're a governor, you are a ruler amongst the people. I'm commanded to show you respect. If I get to a class, let me give an example. In my children's school, anytime I see any of the teachers, I call them auntie. Even if I'm older than you, you are auntie. Why? You are the teacher of the children. I have to show you respect in their presence. The auntie that comes to my house, I think I'm older than she is. But I don't call her Ijoma. It's always Auntie Joma. Why? I'm addressing her in the presence of the children. You understand? It's how they continue to respect her. You know, you lift, put her on that platform. You are rich, is your problem. You know why I'm saying this? If you respect people because of money, you are covetous, you will steal. That's what I'm trying to say. You will steal. People don't know what controls their behavior. It's not, do I want to steal or I don't want to steal? What controls your behavior is, do I think highly of people that have money or I don't? Because that thing is spiritual. A lot of these young boys that commit armed robbery, it is because anytime they see a man with a big car, they are intimidated. Money intimidates them. Oh God, I worship you. Long ago, I was taught. In fact, one of our sisters spoke to me a few days ago. He said, Banky, you're lucky, in quotes. He said, God liberated you early. We're talking about some things. He said, you know this area? You were liberated very early. He said, some of us, it took a while. We used to think these people were lucky. He said, those days, somebody drives a car, we are intimidated. I don't know how the Lord did it, but he did it for me very early. Very, very early. Somebody's material prosperity has never bothered me or made me wish. I don't know whether I get my point. It doesn't. Look, those days when we're all trekking, if any of my friends brought a car, it was, hey, man, see right. Yeah, give me the kick. It's joy and gladness. I will be going around. Some people will, their spirits will be depressed. God, you have not yet remembered me. What is God's memory got to do with this one? I mean, look, listen. Me, I don't do anything to impress anybody in that area. No. I was talking with, who was it the other day? I said, one thing I like about my wife is something like that. My wife, not, that is, she not send. That one, I give that one to my wife. 100%. No, everybody gets some areas where 1,000%. No, that show off thing, never. Ah, God, in my family, not there. In Jesus' name, it's not in your life, too. Amen. Now, just for your information, it's not a natural thing, though. It was birthed of the word of God. Yes, I learned to make my boast in the Lord. He said, I learned long ago, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the wise one boast in his wisdom. Let him that boast in one thing, that he knows me. I learned that one long ago. Anything I do for myself, not to impress you at all. In fact, I want you to think lowly of me so that I will surprise you. Genesis chapter 3. It said, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. And he came to the woman and said, indeed has God said, verse 1, that's where I am, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now, please notice something. The woman said to the serpent, we can eat for anyone, but then the one that's in the middle, we can't eat and we can't touch. Then verse 4, the serpent now began to explain. You will not surely die. For God, now notice this, he's changing her mind. He's changing her thinking process. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now please notice verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate and gave also to her husband with her and he ate. Now let me stop here. I want to bring out a principle here. You will notice something. The tree had been by her every day. I can assure you of one thing. She thought the tree was horrible. You look at the fruit, why is it shaped like that? Then Satan sat and began to explain things to her. Then suddenly she realized that, at least she thought so, that anything will make you wise. And because of the wisdom, the God-likeness that was promised, she looked at the tree again. Suddenly, she saw that the tree was good for food. And that it was, notice this, a delight to the eyes. Suddenly, it's beautiful. Why? Satan had changed her mind about the result of eating it. Then her system reconditioned itself. Suddenly, the thing looked very nice. That's the point I'm making. That is why, unless you first curb, that is, the desires of your heart, where it is heading towards, what will have cured her is simple. Desire to be like God and to be wise, able to personally distinguish between that which is good and evil, should never be paramount in her heart. What should have been paramount in her heart is that I want to be pleasing to God. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Listen, in this life, that is the only thing that will protect you from the temptations of Satan. That's why, listen, that's why when the world is trying to bring God, like this homosexual thing in America and all of that, all they have are arguments, studies, scientific studies, research that was done. A good Christian should just say, listen, all this one you're saying, it makes no sense to me. God said, that ends the discussion. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? What happened to this woman? The moment her thinking process was altered, so that she now thought that this thing is going to produce this result, suddenly what was in it changed. The appearance changed. Suddenly, what the color she did not like before, she suddenly liked it. Listen, there is an explanation for everything you like in life. You may not know the explanation, but there is. You may just look at any time I see this color. I just like it. Believe me, there is an explanation. Those who do food business, they've learned it that if you want a food to sell, there are colors you don't paint it, like you're manufacturing. Blue is one of them. And you know why? He said, think about it. There's only one edible thing on the earth that's colored blue. On the whole earth. And Nigerians have never seen it. So to you, there's nothing that's edible naturally now that's blue. He said there's only one, blueberries. And blueberries are not found around here. And that's the human mind. So the human mind is not conditioned to link blue with something that's palatable. So if you want to manufacture food, don't paint it blue, please. There is nothing you like on this earth that doesn't have a reason. The only thing that you may not know the reason. What am I preaching? If we want to spread the kingdom of God on this earth, we must be true expressions of that kingdom. And the first place where you will walk on place is how you reason. Because that's what controls every other thing in your life. That is it. That is why he says, guard your heart with all diligence. Be quick to disagree with everything that disagrees with the word of God. Don't accept it in your heart. I've heard of Pastors who are counseling single girls. If the man is nice, it doesn't matter even if he's not a Christian. After all, many Christians are not nice. They don't tell you about guys who are nice. I've heard of pastors say that. Now, I'm trying to say something. Now, this pastor saying this may have married a Christian woman. However, his thought process is going to afflict those who listen to him. What he's saying, is every Christian man nice? You think so? They're not nice. The one beside you is probably not nice. Actually, men are not nice until they marry. They learn to be nice. Single ladies, hear this. Guys are not nice until they marry. That's not the scripture. That's my experience. You say why? It takes time to learn how to be nice. If my wife is pregnant now, and say she wants to eat moi moi that's colored blue, you know, I'll go and look for it. But 10 years ago, she tried it. I left her in the car and walked away. She didn't want blue moi moi, just wanted moi moi that's cooked with other crayfish or cumbia. She go and buy it. And she was heavily pregnant. I said, are you all right? And I left her in the car and walked into the house. God, forgive me for that. I won't do it again today. You know, you learn. You know, you get my point? Yes. So, ladies, these guys, they can't be nice. How can they be? Have they married before? It's you they will use to experiment and learn what is good and what to distinguish between that which is good or evil. They are not nice. It's not because they are bad, though. They don't know how to do it. And he said, don't mind that. She's very, very unreasonable. She knows how much I earn. Look at those comments. If you ask him, one of my friends said, Banky, that's not how they do it. That's not how they do it. He said, when his wife says, honey, say what? I like a skyscraper. He said, he doesn't worry. He said, he'll rub her back and say, oh, sweetheart, a skyscraper. You deserve even more. And I look at me, I'm your husband. You will get 2 skyscrapers. He said, Black, that is the end of the discussion on skyscrapers. He said, where am I going to get the money from? He said, the fact is that she knows I can't afford a skyscraper. He said, but I will ruin everything if I demand that she sees reason. So what I just said, I say, skyscraper, don't worry. When the law brings it, you number one on the agenda, your skyscraper. He said, we will never talk about it again in life. He said, she's happy. There's peace. Everybody's happy. He said, when you start reasoning too much. Now, what am I going to say? He learned that through the things that he suffered. He took a quarrel for years. Yes, after a while, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, no. She really doesn't want a skyscraper. She wants me to be willing to give her a skyscraper. I said, I will always be willing. Am I not your husband? Now, what am I emphasizing? The men are not nice. They can't be nice until they learn. So please marry him like that, all right? Okay, I hope I helped 2 people this night. He said, no, I like him. He's praised very well. He shares the word with me. And, you know, he's responsible. But he's not nice. At least now, you can give him an answer tomorrow. Because that niceness that was the problem, I have solved it. Yes, it was because of you we preached that message. Don't worry. Go home, call him, tell him that there's an important matter. I should see you after church tomorrow. So it's well with you in Jesus' name. It may take a while for him to learn the niceness, but if you tell him to be seeing me and talking to me more regularly, you'll start enjoying him after 3 years. First 3 years, forget it, you're on your own. But after 3 years, life will be sweet for you. Okay? Now, what am I talking about? Let's get back to my message. So, this is what I'm making. The man who is saying that he's speaking out of experience is true. Many men are not nice. Many unbelievers are nice, especially because they've had to chase women. They've learned all the bad habits of deceiving people. And the deliverance for you is simple. Don't walk according to how you feel. Just walk according to what is written. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. No matter how nice he is, if he's an unbeliever, he's an unbeliever. Think that thought. Let that thought consume you. Don't realize that walking in the will of God is more important than marrying a nice man. Nice men can be demon possessed. Yes, they can be. Niceness is not the qualification. Godliness is the matter. Faith is the matter. Why? Because if the heart is right, the Holy Spirit will possess him. I've been married for 16, it will be 16 years in December. I'm a nicer guy now than 16 years ago. My wife is rejoicing every day that she married me now. That time she used to wonder, why did I even marry him? He uses his sweet preaching to deceive me. But but now, you see, because of righteousness, because of respect for the word of God, I am not the man I used to be. Are you getting my point? She's not the woman she used to be. And that's the good thing about righteousness. Righteousness does not mean I'm always right, I know everything. Righteousness means I'm rightly related with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm rightly relating with the word of God. That word enters me and creates, makes me into anything. What am I trying to use that to explain? Be careful what you agree with. If God says something is bad, no matter how it feels to your body, agree it is bad. If it feels very, very good, all right, agree in your mind it is bad. If the whole world says it is right, agree first of all in your heart that it is bad. What's the point I've made? Listen, when we're talking about advancing the kingdom of God, the first thing is that we must truly represent that kingdom. And the first place we represent that kingdom is in how we what? We think. Please don't let the world conform you to its way of thinking. Don't let them give you the same standards. Same standards of success, same standards of who is rich, who is poor, same standard of who is doing well, who is not doing well. You must never agree with it. The man that has a lot of money can be poor as far as God is concerned. You go for true riches. Don't ever focus on material things as a sign that somebody is prosperous. That is what we are talking about. I hope you are getting my point here. If God says this is not a mark of success, even preachers sometimes they fall for it. A big church is a mark of success. That man is doing well. Now why? They just finished their church, 2,000 seater capacity. How does that mean he's doing well? People who tell lies build faster. I hope you know that. If one mafia don joins his church and the man starts blessing the mafia don, he can build a 10,000 seater capacity. My friend Pastor Chukuma said when he was in West Africa, Sierra Leone, or one of those countries, Nigerian boys that were there doing crime, they joined his church. And every day he would be denouncing crime. They were saying this pastor is not wise. So finally one day he came to church and drove all of them away. If you're in this church, I will not repent. God punish you. Get out of here. So they said, okay, this man is not smart. They left and went to a church opposite him. And in a few months, they finished building that church for that man. Who's doing well now? Depending on how you are judging. But guess what? I won't tell you the name of the denomination, but their big oga, either a general overseer or bishop or prelate, whatever name you call him, had to come from Nigeria to build out that pastor out of prison when problems broke out. That man went to jail. Are you getting my point? So listen, the mark of success for us must be different. That is what controls whether we steal or we don't. It's not whether we want to steal or not. It's what we consider success. I hope you have gotten my point. I think I can stop it here. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, okay, let's bow down our heads and just begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.